Start my mic. Tomorrow is July 4th, 2022. It's hard to believe that we've been here that long. You always expect Jesus to come back, but he's going to come back in his time, and he's not going to be late. He's giving man an opportunity to believe on him. We appreciate and thank him for his mercy and grace. So I just got a couple of pictures up here. I just thought were sort of really cool for, Independence Day. But yeah, let me hit those. You got one. I'm going to go ahead and... No, I'm not. I'll leave that one on. And I just thought that was really neat. Robert and I were in Pensacola a couple of weeks ago, and we saw the Blue Angels. Yeah, they're the Blue Angels. Saw them, and boy, that was just fantastic. We were there, and they were practicing. So, you know, I'm sure it's for tomorrow. I think they'll be doing a show. But let me go ahead and show you what went on. And again, another one of those. But this is the sign that I made. The Bible says, a woman is with child, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and it says it 24 times, and great with child, Luke 2:5. Opinions don't matter. Children's lives matter. Choose life, not death. And so it's a pro-choice type of sign as far as I was concerned. And the choice was choose life, don't choose death. Well, so here is the video that the news did, and I want to see if I'm not worried about the sound in this one. What I want to do is just show you how it worked out. So they're getting ready to march, and they march around, and I'm at the end of this line. So no big deal, right? I mean, I'm coming up in about 10 seconds or so. But, you know, they're marching around, and they're going to go around twice. I also didn't know that because I was at the end of the line. My sign was turned backwards so that the guy doing the video can see it. And then when I got out by the cars, I went ahead and did it. So that's me right there. And so, you know, I mean, it got on television, it got in the news, and, you know, I thought, no big deal, right? So I marched the whole way around, and I come the whole way around, and I end up, being interviewed by the newspaper. And this is WUWF, I guess maybe radio, 88.1, I don't know. But notice people are reading the sign, and that's the purpose of it, is that they read this sign for what it says, because I think that's important. And again, this was from that same radio station. And so what ended up happening, you know, and this is the newspaper, lone anti-abortion supporter Doug Stauffer mingles amid hundreds of people protesting the Supreme Court striking down of Roe versus Wade during Tuesday's pro-choice rally and march through downtown. Now, you have to understand, this is only moments before I wasn't really mingling with them, as you're going to see in a moment. But what you'll also see, this is MSN, and off to the right it says, a lone pro-life supporter appears amidst hundreds of people protesting. Same picture, same article, the whole works. So I thought that was pretty wild that they changed the heading from the newspaper and changed it to a lone pro-life supporter. This is me standing in front of the TV camera being interviewed. I don't know they're behind me. I mean, I don't know they're congregating behind me. But what happened was I came around one time, I stopped for the news, stopped for the television, and my back is to the group, as you can see. And they're reading my sign as they go by on that second time around, and they're upset. I mean, I don't even hear them. I didn't have my hearing aids in, obviously. I don't pay attention to them. But this is what you're going to hear in a second. So As you can see, this is them surrounding me. And maybe it's good you don't hear it. You can sort of tell it's pretty. I mean, all they're saying is my body, my choice. And it worked earlier, but it's not now. So that's fine. My body, my choice, my body, my choice. And this is about 15 minutes in. So at the beginning, they're right here. And there's a lady with a bullhorn, and she's sort of pushing them back and telling them they need to get back. And, you know, at one point, you know, they're sort of hitting me with their signs, or they're hitting me with their signs. And, you know, and it goes on like that for, you know, a good 20 minutes. Well, then the second video, I mean, you can just see them just yelling. They're mad. And all it is one person with a sign that says, you know, abortion is wrong. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. God, in the Bible, it says, a woman with child, a woman great with child, and that's it. There is no other thing. So then I go into the next video. Yeah, that dude was showing me his IQ. So in here, they're saying separation of church and state. So I put my video camera away. What happened was it went on and went on and went on, and I see all these people videoing me. So I said, well, I'm going to get my video out. So I videoed them. Then they did the separation of church and state. They're trying to back them up because they're saying, you're doing no good. He's not listening. And so, and I was listening to them, but I mean, you know, they're pretty upset about the whole thing. There's another video here, and I'm not going to play it just sound-wise, but Rebecca Jones, who's the one talking right now, she is a congressional candidate, Democrat. And she tells the story about taking young girls, high school girls, to Mobile from Mississippi to have an abortion across state lines. And so I just found that real deplorable. I talked to her quite a bit because she was the one right in front of me. She said, you know, she said something, and I know I've told you some of this, but she said, you know, basically you're not welcome here. I said, wait a minute, I thought you were going to be a congressman for all the people. Oh, I am. I said, well, I'm pro-choice. And I said, I think we should have a dialogue. And she says, we can't have a dialogue if you've got signs like that. Now, you know, I'm sorry, but I saw a lot of signs that I disagreed with, and I'd have a dialogue with any of them. But this is where we are today. We're a very divisive society, and it's probably not going to get better, especially with the decisions that are coming out, with the Supreme Court reading the Constitution as it was written. So So this is after the rain. Somebody, Elaine asked me for a picture of me holding the sign. And that's, so it folds up in three parts. So when I walked up, it was just a white sign folded up. You can't see anything. And then I opened it up when I started marching. And then when I came around, they saw it. So how am I, you know, I'm thinking, man, this may go on forever. And they're trying to get him back because they want to talk to him underneath the tree again. And so she's, you know, they've got the bullhorns, and they're saying, move back, move back. And then all of a sudden, cloud overhead just breaks loose. I mean, it just comes down in buckets. And I just fold my sign up. They're scurrying to the tree and scurrying to their car, and I walk out of there unmolested. So did God bring the rain? I don't know. I certainly believe he did. Because I had nobody, after all of that you saw, nobody was left. Not a single soul, because it was raining, it came down really hard. And I had a hat on, plus, you know, I don't worry much about my hair getting messed up. Those women did, and so, you know, they left me alone after that. The next day, I'm driving, I told you, at 7 in the morning, driving down John Sims Parkway, and there's that rainbow. And it was just like God was, I mean, the breakfast I was going to got canceled, and I didn't know. It was Friday morning. It was a couple days later, actually, Tuesday to Friday. And there's that rainbow, and boy, I just thought about God and what he promised and just what that truly represents. So it's just, I don't know, it's an amazing thing. And the funny thing, or the interesting thing, is what I'm going to preach on tonight. And that's going to be the fact that God sends his comforter. And that's going to be in John chapter 16. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, John chapter 16, and I will just leave this up here. So John chapter 16, let's look at what the Bible says. But I wanted to explain that to you because I really did not anticipate at all what was going to transpire that day. I still would go, knowing what I know and how God protected me and how He gave me overwhelming peace. The comforter within me comforted me. I told somebody that God comforts the feeble-minded. And fortunately, I could attest that me going down there alone was a bit feeble-minded. But I really don't, I don't want to be responsible for anybody else. If I took Robert, I wouldn't have to be responsible for him because he's a big boy. But I also, somebody said, well, next time you got to carry. I'm like, why would I carry? I mean, I'm not going there to hurt anybody. So I just want you to know that. And I get the comment being, you know, why wouldn't you carry? But listen, if somebody decided they were going to take their frustration out on me, it is what it is. I would probably defend myself, I would suppose. But I might end up taking a whooping. And if it happens, that's just the way it is. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Remember, I showed you Psalm 119, 165. Those that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. One of the things about being a Christian is really nothing should offend you. Nothing at all should offend you. Because if you get attacked because you are a Christian, they're attacking Christ. We saw that whenever Saul was asked, you know, why persecutest thou me? And in Acts chapter 8, it says he was attacking the church. He was hailing men and women and throwing them in prison. And so nothing should offend you. Verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogue. So obviously we're talking about the Jews here. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. So, they, you know, you look at the Gospels and Jesus Christ and the attack that he had, and you'll see that they thought that he was the enemy. He said he's the Son of God. He was blaspheming. Now, they also did it because of envy, but they also believed they were doing service to God. They stoned Stephen because he was saying the same thing. Saul said he made havoc of the church in Acts chapter 8, but when you look at Philippians chapter 3, look at what he writes about his life and about the persecution of the church in Philippians 3. Look at verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You see, he believed it was his responsibility to stop these people that were proclaiming what he thought was another God. But then he goes on, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And he goes on from there. But going back to John chapter 16. So that, you know, at least Saul stood up for what he believed in. He didn't do it out of envy. He didn't do it out of spite. He did it because he thought that that's what God wanted him to do. And listen, you can do some things in ignorance. He said, I did it in unbelief and ignorance. And you can do some things in ignorance. Listen, God is merciful. I've told you about, you know, young people that have an abortion or people in general that have an abortion, we got to love them. You can't say, well, they had an abortion, you know, they ought to be ostracized from the church and, you know, what do they say? Anathema and excommunicated. They say, no, you love them. You show them the love of Christ. That sin is a sin. That's it. But so are your bad thoughts. So are the things that you do that you don't let anybody know about. And yeah, oh, abortion's the worst thing. No, it's not. It's not the worst thing. You destroying the life of another person is worse than most things I can name. So you have to be careful, and I've stressed this over and over again. We will say we believe abortion is murder. We will also say God can forgive a murderer. God can forgive that woman. And because of that, we've got to look at it from a different set of lenses. We have to look at it with compassion and realize they are being lied to. They're being lied to in the school and saying that we evolved from apes. They're being lied to in the schools and saying that, you know, that creationism is religion and separation of church and state. Therefore, you don't teach creationism. You teach evolution and Darwinism and communism and socialism and everything else they're doing. And the woke things that they're teaching and all of these things that are contrary to Scripture, they're being lied to. What do we do? We need to love them. And we need to love them enough to put a smile on your face, give them the truth, and not treat them like they are an enemy. I did not see one enemy out there as I turned around that group and hundreds of people yelling at me and hating me. And one of the things you got to realize about this video is it really shows how divided we are. You see, the Democrats think they're the ones that are the group of love. You know, they love everybody. They're open-minded. But listen, everybody, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you're closed-minded. But you still need to show the love of Christ. I had a smile on my face 90% of the time, I believe. Even almost 100. You know, I mean, I've thought about it. I'm like... And, you know, that probably drove them even nutsier. I remember I was in college, and there was this class I had called Labor Studies. And it was one of those easy A classes that's an elective, and I took it. And every day, that you know, women's liber pro labor union, she'd get up, and she was brainwashing these 18 years old. And you got to remember, I had 4 years Air Force. Then I went to college at Penn State. So I'm not the typical Joe in that class. Well, she's got 350 students, so I raise my hand. I have a question. And I would confront her about it. And then I would do it again and do it again. Finally, she says to me, oh, by the way, what is your name? I think you speak up enough. You deserve extra credit. I said, ma'am, I don't need extra credit. I don't want you to know my name. And I didn't tell her. And she says, well, would you do me one favor? When you raise your hand, would you not smile? That was it. And I abode by her wishes. She thought it was, you know, one of those condescending grins. It wasn't. It's who I am. And I just smile. But she took offense to it. You know what I did? I stopped smiling. I just put my hand up. I asked her the same question. I respected her for that, but I was not going to allow her to take those young children, 18, 19, 20 years old, take those people that were ignorant and take that mind of mush and mix it up. So I was given the other side time and time again. Going back to verse 3 in John chapter 16, it says, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." They were sorrowful because he was leaving, and I get that. But I do want to show you something. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. Remember I told you that the reason that Saul did what he did was because of the law. I'm going to show you in the law where Saul was correct for persecuting the believers. He was correct for standing against those who... said that Jesus is the Son of God. Deuteronomy 13:1. "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass." Notice that. Did Jesus' signs and wonders come to pass? whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Now, he's not saying go after other gods, but from their perspective, he was. Which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Now, they should have known their Bible and would have noticed that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of Scripture. But let's say they didn't. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The problem is they didn't love God with all their heart and all their soul. They were hypocrites. They weren't living right and doing right. But Saul was. So see, this applies to Saul's situation. Verse 4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. Ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Because he has spoken to you to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way, which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. You see, that's why Saul did what he did. The Bible says that those religious leaders persecuted Jesus for envy. And even the king knew that. He knew that they did it for the wrong heart's reason. So, look at going back to John chapter 16. Notice it says that when the time will come, ye shall remember these things. And that has to go with quite a few things. He told them about the death, burial, and resurrection, but he said, I'm not going to reveal it to you till after the cross. And that was the truth. He did not reveal those things until after the cross because the prince of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory had he known what the cross was all about. So he kept those things secret to some degree, but afterwards he reminded them. And remember, the Comforter is going to come and he's going to bring all things to remembrance too. That's why he's being sent. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Can you imagine that? 3.5 years with Jesus and it's a good idea that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You see, he's going to send the Comforter down, and the Comforter is going to indwell believers. I had the Comforter in when I was in the midst of that group. I never feared for one second. Not one second. And you say, well, it was a bunch of women. There were a couple of big dudes there too. And the men were just as mad as the women because the women probably told them what to do. I'm just kidding. That was very ugly, very truthful, but ugly. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, let me tell you what reproof means. It speak in strong, convincing words. He's going to reprove the world. That's the purpose of the Comforter. He's going to excite a sense of guilt. One of the things you see when I have a sign that says what it says, if they read it, they can have a sense of guilt whether they know it or not. And listen, they're not going to think it's the sign that's doing it. They're going to think it's the one holding the sign. The messenger is the problem. The messenger's causing me to feel this way. Now think about it. One person down there that has another perspective, and yet you can't handle it. One person, one anti-abortion or pro-life, and they can't handle it. Why? They probably don't have the Comforter. I can have hundreds of people around me yelling at me and chanting and giving me the finger and you can sense the hatred. You can and listen, there were two police officers out there. They came over and said they didn't have a permit to do what they were doing. But they were going to let them do it, by the way. I'm in the middle, and then I think when it all dispersed, I think I remember seeing so I'm walking to my truck. I think I remember seeing one police officer right there. But he wasn't going to break it up. I mean, maybe he thought, they were chanting me to go, go, go or something. I don't know. I mean, it was 4 or 5 deep. I don't know if he could see it. I suppose he could, but he didn't want to get in the middle of that thing. What's he going to do if he gets turned on? Look at what goes on. So the police officers have a very difficult position that they're put in. Do I stop the thing? He's probably got a call in, a sergeant, lieutenant, captain, chief. saying, no, just let it go. It's not that big a deal. You know, if you break it up, it's just going to be a hassle, and then we're going to have another problem. Just go ahead and let them march. Tell them to stay off the road. And that's what they did. They would come up, and I'd see them. They'd say, tell them to get off the road. Tell them to get off the road. Oh, by the way, the Rebecca Jones, she said, you know, when she was separating me from the other group, she says, I'm here for your protection. Well, I noticed whenever I was in the midst of that group and probably needed a little bit of protection from a woman like her, I didn't get any. She was nowhere to be found. Why? She didn't, listen, she wasn't there, you know, to help me. She isn't concerned about me. And I'm thinking, I thought for a minute when she first said that, and I'm at the back of the group and we're marching along, I'm thinking, you know, why do I need protection? Of course, I really didn't realize that technically I probably did need some if they got violent, and they did not. I mean, hitting me with a sign is not exactly going to hurt me. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. How will he reprove the world of sin? He's gonna do it in such a way that it excites that sense of guilt. He's gonna reprove the world of righteousness. Remember, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we have. It's not our own righteousness. He's gonna reprove the world of judgment. And you go through and you read those. Look at what he says in verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me. You know, the only sin that'll send you to hell is unbelief. It's not whether you've had an abortion. It's not whether you're pro-abortion. It's not whether you've done anything other than unbelief. He says, of sin because they believe not. Two, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye shall see me no more. And then verse 11 says, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. See, he's judging the prince of this world. And when Jesus died, he went into the heart of the earth and he got the keys of hell and death. He went to hell, but hell couldn't hold him. On the same day, he went across that gulf into paradise. And you know that because he told that thief on the cross, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. You see, so he convinced, he reproved the world. Now, you know what preaching is supposed to do? Preaching is supposed to be with reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. You know what I like people to understand, listen, everybody coming through those doors is not going to feel comfortable coming in here. You preach on sin, you preach on righteousness, you preach on the fact that the world is going contrary to God and the things that are going on are not right, they're not of God. Listen, there are going to be people that aren't going to like that. But you don't change your message. You don't say, well, you know what, I've got to make sure, I put out a poll maybe and say I need to find out what everybody wants in church and I need to find out what you want to hear and I need to find out where you are so I can stick my finger up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. I don't want to do that. Now, I don't want to cause problems. I did not go out there. I'm at the end of the line. You see me at the beginning, and that's why I wanted to play that today. Because I want you to see, I went out there thinking, I'm just going to walk around here. I'm going to have my sign up. And by the way, I walked the whole way around. Nothing happened until I came back and until I was stopped in front of that reporter and then in front of that television. And then I didn't know they were going to come around a second time. And when they came around the second time, they're reading my sign. And then they're in between me and my truck. If my truck was in the other direction, I'd have walked right out to my truck the other way. You wouldn't have seen any of that. But guess what? My truck's on the other side. So when I turn and I see that crowd and they're from there to there and my truck's right there, I just walk toward them. I'm thinking, they're going to let me through. I mean, that's not that unreasonable to think that. I've never been mobbed. So I'm going to walk right through them. Well, no. Then they just envelop the whole way around me. So it surprised me. I did not go out there to cause a problem. If I did go out there and thought there was going to be a problem, I would not have gone alone. Because it's not the way the Bible says go in twos on most everything you do. So I want you to understand that I'm not a I wasn't being a loose cannon. I wasn't being I wasn't trying to start a problem. I just want you to understand that. Because if you don't understand that, then you could lose confidence in me as a preacher and as a pastor. And if I do it again, I'll take somebody with me. Because it's the smarter thing to do. And I'm not saying I wouldn't do it again. I would hope God would give me the peace like He did. And the rain, too, is pretty nice. That was pretty surreal. Because there I was, I'm thinking, man, this may go on forever. And then He brought the rain. I mean, it was that fast. It just broke loose. So He talks about the prince. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 talks about Daniel 10 talks about the prince of the kingdom of Persia. All that stuff fits together. Listen, He's here and He has already won the victory. Victory in Jesus, right? We already have the victory. All we're waiting for is the sound of the trumpet. We're waiting for the day that He blows that trumpet or that last trump sounds. That might be the end of a trumpet sound, the last trump. And we're going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What an amazing thing. Look at verse 12. He goes on and He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I don't know what that was. There's more scripture to come. There's, you know, you think about it. This is the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John hadn't been written yet, but he has you know, some more things He's going to say, and then He's going to save Saul, who writes 14 books in the Bible. He has many more things to say, but you're not ready for it yet. Do you know what God will give you? Only what you are able to handle. You may not be the one that needed to go down there on that day because it may have turned out differently for you. I believe He wanted me to go. I do. I believe that He wanted my sign to say what my sign said because it says the woman is, the Bible says the woman is with child. The woman is great with child. That person in the womb, it doesn't matter what you think, that is a child from the moment of conception. I was thinking about preaching on abortion, but I am going to do that. I will take two or three or four services that it'll take because there's that much in the Bible about abortion. And I need to teach on it because I think we need to understand that this is a real battle. And I know you do understand that. But I want you to be able to have the Scripture so you can stand and say, listen, this is why it's wrong. I will tell you the caveat. I believe that if a child is aborted, that child will show up in heaven and is in heaven right away. That is the only saving grace that stops me or just says to me, I don't have to spend all my time in front of abortion clinics. I don't. If I thought that child went into some type of, you know, no life, no nothing, I believe it's a soul. And I believe that soul, as soon as it's aborted, it goes to heaven. And I believe that soul will show up again and we will see those souls in heaven. Can you imagine what that's like? If it wasn't for that, I couldn't live with what this country has done in all these years with Roe v. Wade. It's the only way to be able to function is to know that God is the one that's in control. God's the one. I even believe that the children that were killed in Herod's day, you know, 2 years and younger, I believe they're going to show up again. I believe God's going to resurrect them, and they might even be part of the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, nation of Israel. They're without sin. They've not known a woman. Well, think about it. What would be the greatest thing if God took those children and children during the Holocaust and aborted babies and brought 144,000 of them back, and they're the ones that are walking this earth preaching the gospel. And there is scripture that indicates that is what it is. God is going to win no matter what. That's why we don't have to go and have somebody bomb an abortion clinic.
Because God's going to win. It doesn't justify it. It doesn't make it right, but it makes it so that we can look at it and say, you've got to be smart about what you do. You've got to determine what battles to fight. You know what I believe? I believe the battle to fight was to elect people that would put the Supreme Court back the way it was supposed to be, where they're constitutionalists, and I think that's where the battle needed to be won. Guess what? That's where the battle's being won. And you better pray for your Supreme Court justices, because you've got lunatics out there that want to take them out, and you've got governors and sheriffs and whomever else not doing their job to get all those protesters that are, some of them, only takes one loony out there. Pray for them. Pray, the Bible says, pray for all those that are in authority that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Just pray. And do what you can do, get engaged, be informed, and do what God wants you to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And you may not always understand. You may not always support it. I don't know. I'm just telling you, I'm going to do what God leads me to do, and I just pray that I know what it is that God wants me to do. Verse 13, he says in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you. You cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Prophecy. He has shown me things to come. I study my Bible, and when I went through Bible college, I didn't study prophecy. I got a master's degree, didn't study prophecy. I taught books of the Bible and didn't study prophecy because I didn't have a grasp on it. And then then somebody asked me to write a chapter in a book. Then they asked me to teach on the chapter in the book. Then they asked me to teach again and teach again and teach again. All of a sudden, I had to get in my Bible and start studying the Bible from a prophetic standpoint. And I was just amazed at the depths and the understanding and how God just put it all in there and shows it to us. But you got to work. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed. You got to study your Bible. I don't get the things that I get simply by cursory reading. I study, I read, I pray. I pray, I read, I study. And that's why God opens up the Bible to me. He'll do the same thing for anybody in here. And that's why I teach the Bible. I want to teach it because I don't want you to come here and leave the same. I'll tell you what. You got the Spirit of truth that lives in you that will guide you into all truth. How come you don't go into all truth? How come I don't go into all truth? We don't follow our guide. You see, He guides us into all truth. Oh, no, well, how come I did wrong? You didn't follow your guide. How come I messed up? You went the wrong way. He's going this way, and if you choose to go that way, or you choose to do your own thing and be your own person, or whatever it is, or you don't get in the Bible, or you don't pray about it, or you don't get in touch with God, you're going to do your own thing, and then you can't say, well, that's God's fault. God gave you the Spirit of truth that'll guide you into all truth. Don't argue with Him. Simple as I can tell you. Verse 14, He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and he shall show it unto you. He's going to show it to you. He's going to show it to me. Look at John chapter 14, verse 26. Look at what he says, because I mentioned the Comforter. And in John 14, look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How many things? All things. What's he going to do? He's going to teach you all things. How come we mess up? We don't listen to our teacher. We don't follow our guide. You can know exactly
what God wants you to do in your life. No doubt about it. And you don't need me to tell you. In fact, I don't want to be put in the position where I am your Holy Ghost. Many of pastors have done that. Oh, what kind of car do I need to buy, Pastor? I'll tell you. What kind of books I need to read? I'll tell you which books to read. Now, I can give you advice. I can tell you, you know, I've read that book. It's not a good book. You probably don't want to read it. I've read that book. Just be careful. Or I've read that book and it's a great book. I can give you advice. But it's not like you come up to me and say, well, I need your stamp of approval on my life. I need your imprimatur on everything that I do. Do you realize the responsibility you'd be putting on a mere mortal? I have a hard enough time making sure I follow my guide. I have a hard enough time making sure that I learn the things that I'm supposed to learn and do the things I'm supposed to do. I will help you. I will pray for you. I will try to guide you in certain ways. But don't put it all on me, and none of you do. Thank you. But it's preventive maintenance. Because I don't want anybody to think, well, we just asked Brother Stauffer, and he seems like he's in tune with God, so whatever he says got to be right. You know what absolute power does? It corrupts absolutely. You know what has made many a pastor fall? Is because they start thinking the press is true. You come to me and I'll tell you what to do. No, you get in touch with God. And if you want to say, Pastor, pray for this, I'll pray for that. Pastor, what do you think about this? I'll give you my opinion. But it's not thus saith the Lord unless there's something in Scripture I can point to. So, one more passage. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I told you, he said that he could not tell them. He said, but when I'll bring to remembrance those things. In John chapter 12, verse 16, the Bible says, these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. You see, you won't understand everything. Do not think just because you don't understand why something comes in your life that God doesn't care. He does. He makes each one of us unique. And He allows things in certain people's lives because He wants you to glorify Him in whatever that is. So how are you doing? Are you glorifying Him in it? Do you recognize that it's all about Him and not about you, not about me, not even about us. It's all about Jesus. Everything is all about your relationship with Him. How's your relationship? Are you following your guide? Follow your guide. He's there. And you know what He can do? Allow you to be in what most people would consider an extremely stressful situation, and your stress level is right there. I felt nothing. Nothing in that crowd. What was that? That was God. That was God. That's what you need to see. And I'm not special. I'm telling you right now, the same thing. If you get in the center of God's will and you do what God wants you to do, you can have the peace which passeth understanding. And that's what all of us want, whether we know about it or not sometimes. We want that peace in every situation, in every aspect of our life. You can have it every time. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for sending Jesus Christ to die on that cross. Lord, we thank you for being such a gracious and merciful, wonderful God. One that, Lord, we don't always understand everything that comes in our life, or why did you make me like this? Some people ask that question. But if we will focus on glorifying thee with everything we do, no matter what it is, all things work together for good then. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I just pray this in Jesus' name. As the music plays, if God's spoken in some way, the altar is open.